If Hawaii is to meet its stated goal of 100% clean energy by 2045, many things about our daily life will need to change. Electric car usage is starting to take hold, but it has a ways to go, and a new coalition called Drive Electric Hawaii is aimed at giving it a boost. Shem Lawler is the Clean Transportation Director for Blue Planet Foundation, and he's on hand to tell us more. Good morning, Shem.
Good morning, Chris. It's good to be here.
That state law about 100% clean energy does not apply to vehicles, right?
Correct.
But it's a goal you'd like to see addressed.
Right. I think there's a general consensus that among energy and transportation stakeholders that eventually we will have some kind of a target for ground transportation similar to the one that we have for electricity, which, as you stated, would be clean by 2045. And I think that there are some mutual benefits between the two. They impact each other.
Who would fight that initiative?
Well, there are some businesses that have stakes in the status quo, as there always are.
Selling gasoline.
There's dealerships that make a lot of money off of service on gasoline cars, and obviously auto repair. There's a lot of transition that would need to take place. But ultimately, we don't have we don't produce any oil in Hawaii, so it's not a core part of our economy. Mm-hmm. It's actually, as we transition away from gasoline, from imported petroleum, it will greatly benefit our economy, actually.
If you run an electric car, charge up your electric car, you haven't entirely, in Hawaii today, you haven't entirely freed yourself from burning gasoline, have you?
That's correct. So obviously we have to clean our electricity sector. That's well underway. Today we're about 20% of our electricity statewide is produced by renewables. HECO, I think, announced earlier this week they're on track for 40% by 2020. And ultimately, we should have 100% by 2045 or earlier, maybe even as soon as 2040.
Don't we burn more gas to produce electricity than any other state by a factor of a great deal?
We do. Actually, if you look at the utilities on the mainland in particular, a lot of them have transitioned. Originally, a lot of them were heavily dependent on coal. Now a lot of them are transitioning to natural gas, which we have abundant in the U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. We don't really have the infrastructure to really utilize a lot of natural gas here, and I think that that's something we're not interested in doing. We have abundant renewable resources here, wind, solar, wave. Investing in natural gas infrastructure would cost significant and would detract us from our ultimate goal of renewable.
Are you satisfied with the momentum toward renewables?
I think we always want to do better. I think that there are things that we could do better in terms of expediting the uptake of solar and wind and having a smarter grid. But I think we're definitely headed in the right direction. And I think we're ahead in the electricity sector of where we need to be in the transportation sector.
Drive Electric Hawaii is a public and private partnership, yeah? Nonprofits and government working together. Is that accurate?
Right. That's accurate. It's essentially a coalition of eight stakeholders that came together as part of a workshop that we attended in Utah in April of this year. Mm-hmm. That was put on by the Rocky Mountain Institute. So a number of the stakeholders that are now members of Drive Electric Hawaii went up to Utah, and they brainstormed on ways that we could improve the uptake or expedite the uptake of electric vehicles, and in particular how that could support the adding renewables to the electricity grid. So that's kind of where the initiative got its genesis. And then coming out of that workshop, the partners continued to have discourse and, I think, wanted to identify some of the barriers to electric vehicle adoption.
Yeah.
And now we've kind of grouped together. We signed a memorandum of understanding basically that says we're all committed. Us eight partners are committed to identifying the problems and solutions to those problems to help expedite electric vehicle adoption to the point that ultimately that we'll have 100% renewable ground transportation along with our electricity.
What are some of the other barriers that you just cited?
So traditionally, some of the barriers to electric vehicles has been technological. So for example, in 2011, when the first mass market electric vehicles came on for sale, that was the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Volt. Mm-hmm. The cost of producing batteries for cars is very high. So the way we measure batteries for electric cars is in kilowatt hours. Basically, you can drive about 3 or 3.5 miles for every kilowatt hour in your battery. At that time, in 2011, to produce a kilowatt hour of battery was close to $1,000, so $970 or so. As of this year, it's under $200. So in 5 years, we dropped from almost $1,000 to under $200 per kilowatt hour battery. And how that translates, if you're looking at Nissan Leaf, it has a 24 kilowatt hour battery. So you're looking at, you know, close to $25,000 for that battery in 2011. And today, that's $5,000 or $6,000 to produce that battery.
Well, let's say you want to buy an electric car, Freudian slip there. You want to buy an electric car, but you drive, 75 miles a day in your workday, there and back, and you might wonder if there are enough charging stations. But I mean, that does limit your range, doesn't it?
Right. So that's the next. Other than the cost of the cars, that was one barrier. As the cost of batteries come down, the ease of increasing the size of the battery is also improved. So the first generation electric vehicles were actually just coming to the end of the first generation now.
Yeah.
Those have all been in the 80 to 100 mile range. Those are your Nissan Leafs, your BMW i3s and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The Tesla is a little bit different. They've always been kind of a luxury category, and they've had more larger batteries.
Sure.
But this next generation of electric vehicles, which we expect in 2017, starting with the Chevy Bolt with a B, they're going from about 24 kilowatt hour batteries to 60. Mm-hmm. So basically, all of the next generation of electric vehicles are going to have in the 200 mile range. So the difference in how frequently you have to charge is pretty significant. Now, we've never had quite the range anxiety here in Hawaii as commuters in the mainland because we don't drive as far.
Yeah.
But there is a related anxiety to range anxiety, which is charger anxiety.
Yeah.
So how frequently do you have to charge?
How long does it take?
Right. And as this new generation of EVs comes along starting in next year, people are going to be able to drive farther and have longer time between when they have to charge.
Sounds as if there are concerns in a number of areas are going to be abated as technology advances. Yeah, Shem?
That's absolutely true. And that's why we expect, as this next generation of EVs comes on board, a lot of those barriers are going to disappear, and EVs are going to make sense for a lot more people, and we expect to see new sales grow exponentially in the next few years. And that's going to put a lot of strain on our, particularly in Honolulu, on our charging network, our public charging station network.
So we'll hope that catches up as well, yeah?
Well, that's where we really see the barrier is in the next few years because, as I say, the price has come down, the range has gotten farther, there's more models coming on board. And so what we really need to focus on now is how do we increase the number of charging stations? And there's charging stations at your home. If you live in a single family home, it's fairly easy. If you live in a condominium, it can be very difficult.
Sure.
So there's a lot of complicated issues around putting charging into multifamily units. Who owns them? Who pays for the electricity? Where do you locate them? So we're working through those issues. We've been working with the legislature on potential policies to help condominiums to deal with those issues. And then there's also public charging stations like at grocery stores or shopping centers. They can be very expensive. So who pays for them and how do they deal with the infrastructure? And those are the kind of issues that this Drive Electric Hawaii was formed to really start tackling.
Well, we'll hope for success. Thanks a lot, Shem.
No problem.
Shem Lawler is the Clean Transportation Director for Blue Planet Foundation, the local nonprofit that's committed to clearing the path for clean energy.